are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, September the 30th. And tonight, the NBA Finals begin. As this show today, we close out the month of September. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We have made it to the NBA Finals. We are there. And this long slog of a season that has gone from last October here to the month of this October, hard to believe, but we are almost there. Today I'm going to break down my prediction for the finals and the throwback factor that might just determine the champion. We got brother Brian Shook back with another draft profile. This time, the number 17 player on the Locked On Pistons podcast listeners NBA draft big board. We are talking about a young, intriguing prospect out of the Atlantic Coast Conference that might just be a difference maker at a position of need for the Pistons. But I also got some staff changes for the Detroit Pistons that we'll pass along a little bit later on in the show as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the NBA Finals getting started tonight. We made it 9 o'clock Eastern on ABC for tonight's Game 1 between the Miami Heat and Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron versus the old LeBrons. I got some good preparation for you guys here to check out. Carve 20 minutes or so out of your day today before the final start. Read a really good story on Udonis Haslem that I read by Andrew Sharp on TheRinger.com. Kind of a history of the league is within that story. If you study the Miami Heat the last couple of decades, you're pretty much learning everything you need to know about this league, maybe outside of the Golden State Warriors. It's a lot about the city of Miami, a lot about Dwayne Wade, a lot about LeBron James, a lot about Eric Spoelstra, a lot about Pat Riley as well. Haslem has kind of been the symbolism of Heat culture, and it's really well demonstrated in this article that I pass along here for you guys to check out. So he's kind of that representation of all we talk about when we talk about Heat culture, and certainly hard to believe that Udonis Haslem is in the NBA still after being rookie season of 2003, but that's after 1 year in France as a professional that I don't remember. Maybe I'm derelict in my duties as a close NBA follower to not know that he started and played 1 year undrafted out of Florida, lost 50 pounds from when he was drafted to when he made his NBA debut a season later after the 1 year in France. But a really good backstory and a player that we always liked here in the Detroit Pistons land, except when you're going up against him, right? There were some battles there during the going to work era, and hard to believe that a guy that played against those Pistons teams is still very good, and that being LeBron James, and also hard to believe that a teammate that was in college before LeBron James was eligible for the draft is still on a roster in the NBA, although he's kind of a glorified head coach at this time, but still an interesting read that you guys should check out there. But what's going to happen in this series in the NBA Finals? Strength versus strength in some ways, right? You got Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis going up against each other in the middle. A little bit of a throwback there. LeBron James, whoever they're going to throw up against him. I would imagine you see some Jimmy Butler, maybe more so of Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala. Bam Adebayo probably throwing at him a little bit too. Dragic and Tyler Hero. Of course, if Hero has a lot of games like Game 4, the Heat just might be unstoppable. I don't expect that to happen too often here in the NBA Finals. KCP will probably draw him, the former Piston there. Markieff Morris is a big name that we all remember here in Detroit. Rajon Rondo has been a really big contributor in these finals after being kind of laughed off by the NBA general followers these last couple years. And the Miami went to the zone a lot in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are not a great defensive team, man by man. So Eric Spoelstra kind of found a way to hide a couple of their guys there, shake things up a little bit there too. You might see some of that, and the Lakers aren't going to really kill you over the top from three. I'm interested to see how Danny Green plays in this series. He has the capability of being the third best player on these LA Lakers. He has certainly not been that anytime lately. Kyle Kuzma is always a wild card for this team coming out of Flint as well. But for me, talking about that zone brings back what I think might be a key to this series. And we talked about how the emergence of the big man in this playoffs and Nikola Jokic being one of the memorable players and the emergence of Bam Adebayo as not just a fluke all-star this year, but a guy that we all kind of think might make the all-star team a lot more here in the future as well. And certainly Anthony Davis being the NBA superstar that he was, and it is becoming more so as time goes on. But with that being a throwback characteristic of these playoffs, how about a throwback stat? A throwback part of basketball that might be a huge reason for one of these teams to pull it out. And that's talking about rebounding. The Los Angeles Lakers, and this is from ESPN.com's Kevin Pelton, is they're lapping the field in offensive rebounding right now. Their average misses are generating 0.23 points. So far ahead of all the other teams in the bubble and in the playoffs as well, just dominating that stat of efficiency off of their own misses. And of course that comes from offensive rebounds, and it makes sense, right? You got LeBron James basically playing point guard out there. You got Anthony Davis not comfortable playing center all that often, and the Lakers doing a good job of facilitating those wants and needs with JaVale McGee. Dwight Howard got a lot of minutes in the last series and was well deserved as he punked Nikola Jokic for a lot of that. And you got Markieff Morris as another big man getting minutes as well for the LA Lakers. So this is a team that's going to go after those offensive rebounds. LeBron James is a strong rebounder as well. And that's going to be a key, especially if the Heat are going to play in that zone. If you played basketball at any level like I did growing up, you know that a zone defense is a lot easier to play, and you just do stay fresh till late in the game. But it's also harder to find men to get that body and to get that rebound ultimately as well. And if you're going up against a big team like the LA Lakers, they might have to switch out of that zone and play a little bit more straight up. And I just think the overwhelming offensive matchups that the Lakers are going to maybe take advantage of with some of these lesser defensive players, thinking about the Duncan Robinsons of the world, who we all love here in the state of Michigan, who's he going to cover, right? Is he going to go and do something against Anthony Davis or LeBron James? I don't quite see that happening. And even a guy like Kyle Kuzma could probably have his way with a Duncan Robinson in a one-on-one situation. So not a lot of easy answers out there for Eric Spoelstra. Frank Vogel is someone who's played to the strengths of his team throughout this postseason, and they've gone throwing it back with some size and throwing it back with rebounding as well, and that's why I am picking the Lakers to win this series, despite the fact that I do respect the Miami Heat. I do think they are going to make this close, and they will steal one or two. I ultimately am picking the Lakers to win in six games. But up next, we're going to get back into the draft profiles. Brian Shook is back with another one for us, talking about Patrick Williams of Florida State. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, you want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone else is craving Froyo. But there's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite local national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. That's national restaurants for those of you scoring at home. Many of your favorite locals, though, they're still open for delivery. So just open the DoorDash app, choose your local favorites, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off with zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yes, sir! A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top 7 draft prospects for the Pistons, and after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you all voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We've decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today, we are going to look at Patrick Williams, a 19-year-old, 6'8", 225-pound small forward. Patrick Williams comes from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he was a 4-year starter at West Charlotte High School. His senior year, he averaged over 22 points and 9 rebounds a game on his way to leading the Mighty Lions to the state championship finals. The Charlotte Observer named him the Mecklenburg County Player of the Year, and the 5-star recruit was named a top 50 prospect in his class after finishing his high school career with over 1,700 points and 700 rebounds. He received numerous offers from major Division I programs, but ultimately chose the Sunshine State to play for Coach Leonard Hamilton at Florida State. As a freshman in Tallahassee, he came off the bench to average 9 points and 4 rebounds in under 23 minutes a game for the ACC champion Seminoles. His contributions didn't go unnoticed as he was named the ACC's 6th Man of the Year and named to the ACC All-Freshman Team. In an interview with Charlotte's WFNZ radio station, Coach Hamilton talked about what it was like to coach Williams.
Well, I can't tell you how impressed I was with this young man. He had his mother and father, they have done such a great job. And you know, Coach Jacoby at West Charlotte, they've done a great job mentoring this young man. That he came to the Florida State with such a level of maturity that was very seldom seen and 17-year-old kids coming to school, first time being away from home. Patrick came in with a mindset that what are the areas where I need to improve on? Not someone with an ego. He came in a very humble in approach. He has a high basketball IQ. And I just thought that he merged himself in the energy things that allowed him to gain confidence as he improved in those areas. And by the time he gets inside, I mean, he was one of the most instrumental players on our team. He hasn't come close to scratching the surface of his potential, and I think great things are ahead for him.
Having just turned 19 in August, he is one of the youngest prospects in the draft and was one of the most explosive athletes in college basketball last year. His athleticism has been described as freakish, and he is a problem to keep off the offensive glass. His quickness and almost 7-foot wingspan contribute to his ability to block shots and close down driving lanes on the defensive end. While he is an over 80% free throw shooter, he only shot 32% from college 3-point range. He needs to improve his perimeter scoring and become a more aggressive on the offensive end. He does possess a good handle and ability to find open teammates, but it would be nice to see him try to look to score more. He will be a project, but his exciting athleticism and ability to guard multiple positions may have a team get a steal in this year's draft. Although unlikely, the Pistons would be looking to use the 7th pick on Williams. He could be a candidate if they do trade down, as most mocks have him in the back end of the first round. I've seen him as high as 18 on some draft boards, but most somewhere in the 20s. The most interesting and realistic NBA comps out there are OG Anunoby and Jeff Green. Thank you for listening, and we look forward on seeing you in the next installment when we'll take a look at forward Sadiq Bey.
We started the series on Monday's show with number 18, Xavier Tillman, and so far I tell you what, Brian's got me, maybe it's the dulcet tones from Brian, but he's got me excited about the possible trade down. It's something that I haven't really thought about all that much, but I know that, not a rumor necessarily, but the hypothetical of the Celtics 3 picks out there for the Pistons 1 pick at number 7. And you guys know that I like Killian Hayes, I like Onyeka Okongwu, I like Tyrese Haliburton quite a bit more than still some of these guys that are number 14 type of prospects, maybe late teens or early 20s type of guys. But maybe it's a situation where if there's a team out there that you can get one of these picks for in the late lottery or early 20s or something like that, even if it costs one of your lesser young assets, I'm thinking about a Kyrie Thomas or something like that, or if that's a way that you can leverage your cap room. Maybe there's a situation where you take that low first-round pick in a trade for some undesirable contract, and maybe that pick in the mid to late first round is a pretty useful one, because that's kind of the grade on this draft, I guess, is the high-end talent's not very good, right? It's not the, if you're going to catch one lottery luck and get the number one pick in one draft over a multiple decade span, this is not that draft that you want to waste that karma or that opportunity on. And, you know, those top-end guys, are the ceiling's really not all that high, and certainly the floor is pretty low as well. I do like a couple of the high-floor guys that I've talked about in Killian Hayes, Tyrese Haliburton, and Onyeka Okongwu, because they're guys that have that Pistons DNA that I'm looking for. So it would be tough for me to part with the opportunity of taking one of those guys. However, when you're talking about a Xavier Tillman towards the end of the first round, or maybe even in the end of the teens, talking about a guy like Patrick Williams, some of the other names that we're going to be talking about as this list goes on, I love the athletic two-way wings as much as anybody else. And Robert Williams sounds like a guy, or I'm sorry, Patrick Williams sounds like a generic name out there. It sounds like a guy who might be able to fit that bill and be someone who could develop those offensive skills and possibly become that high upside player that you hope to get when you're a bad team picking high or picking multiple times in an NBA draft. So that's the take on it. I'm looking forward to hearing more of these as we go on. We've got the draft coming up on November 18th. We got the Pistons picking 7th, and we've got an 18-man list that we're going to comb through here in these next 7 weeks or so as we look ahead to the Pistons picking 7th, or who knows, possibly adding more picks or trading down from the 7th spot to later in the first round. I do think there is an opportunity here, as much as we talk about how that high-end talent is not great. I think when you get to the middle of the first round, it's standard, if not maybe a little bit better than usual. And then even late in the first round, early in the second round, I think it's a decent draft. Maybe more so biased in that direction because of how bad it is up front, that maybe we think that the middle and the lower end of the first round is pretty good, just because in comparison to a poor top three, top five, etc., maybe it is a little bit more of a juxtaposition that makes it look more favorable in that way. But I think there is something to it, and I'm anxious to hear more about these guys in the teens. And then obviously as we roll on to the top of the list, we'll talk more about guys that we've been talking about for a while. But of course, good to get a refresher with only a handful of weeks left until this NBA draft is going to happen. I promise, we've been talking about it for so long, it's like it'll never happen. But someday it will, and that day is coming up soon. But up next, we are going to talk about some staff changes for the Pistons that came the other day. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious. It's got the 18 amazing flavors, the 6 new ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs from before, peanut butter, banana bread, salted caramel. These bars are 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. They're healthy. These are great for the health conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet as well. Let me tell you about the flavor profile for cookies and cream. You know how good cookies and cream is, but it's good for you too. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKDOWN, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Even if you've used the promo code before, they reset that for you. Use promo code LOCKDOWN for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Got a news release here from the Pistons on Monday, and it's kind of a typical announcement of a few minor hirings within the basketball operations staff, but I'm kind of more, concerned is maybe the word, but certainly maybe alarmed by the first clause of the first sentence that the Detroit Pistons announced today the completion of their basketball operations staff. So sounds like we're not getting any more assistant general managers. That's troubling in the regard that makes it seem to me that the Arne Tellem, Ed Stefanski regime is still in total control, and that the next level is Troy Weaver, and that the level below that isn't a lot of people. So to me, that means that there's still a lot of power at the top of this organization, which is not necessarily what I think myself and a lot of Pistons fans were hoping for. All that said, some fine names on here and some fine resumes from what I'm looking at. Top line being Britta Brown, the new senior director of basketball administration. Nice to get a black woman here in a position of authority with the Detroit Pistons. She comes over from Eastern Michigan University. So nice to have her. She was the assistant athletic director at EMU Also, you got Tony Leotti is now the Senior Director of Strategy and Systems. Tony is going to be involved in the salary cap, and he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and even when they won the championship in 2016. Finalizing the hires that we've reported before about Harold Ellis and Ryan West, basically becoming scouts. The technical name is Pro Personnel Evaluators. So we know about Ryan West being the son of Jerry West and Harold Ellis being a former assistant coach of the Detroit Pistons as well. Michael Lindo also highlighted as the director of player and family engagement. We're getting pretty far into the weeds at this point, but a person who, you know, takes care of the families and the players with their personal kind of stuff. And I'm sure there's other responsibilities there, but it seems like that's kind of a nutshell. And also kind of in the same vein of not new hires coming in, Greg Polinsky has been elevated to senior director of player personnel. He's been in charge of the draft these last few years, and he came over from the Nets and had a background with Ed Stefanski as well. So sounds like that's it, you know, and I was hoping for some more names, maybe more recognizable names across the basketball spectrum. Our friend Bernard Condivo, the director of medical and performance, senior director of medical performance. So a little bit of a promotion for him. Dan Rosenbaum, senior director of analytics. Maybe that's a little bit more of a promotion there and a little bit more emphasis on the analytics game. Eric Tellem, familiar last name. I'm sure we know why. Director of Pro Scouting as well. And Jonica Hawkins, Director of Executive Operations. Also bring Rod Williams back as Director of Team Security too. So familiar names there coming back to the organization. But yeah, like I said, a little bit disappointing that there wasn't more of hand-picked Troy Weaver staff members that will have nice titles and maybe some input into the decision-making process of the Pistons. All that said, Troy Weaver was a hot name out there for a couple years, and for him to come over here would suggest that he's got a level of decision-making and responsibility that he's comfortable with to come to a moribund franchise like the Detroit Pistons. But man, I was hoping for some more names as this came along over time. But that'll do it for us here on the Locked on Pistons podcast today. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.